and tonic.
Tate flicked his eyes to Logan's, framed once again by black glasses.
Anything to eat?
Tate hoped the spark he saw there didn't mean he was about to be handed his ass. Nothing to eat, Logan told him. And as Tate was about to move away, he added, right now. Choosing to ignore that, Tate turned away to grab a scotch off the back shelf, but he kept his focus on the two men in the mirror he was facing. Logan was angled toward the blonde and was chuckling at whatever the much more serious guy had said. He wondered how they knew each other.
Maybe they work together?
That's the most logical explanation, Tate thought, until he saw Logan push the big guy's arm and leave his palm on his bicep in a familiar fashion.
Or maybe they are something altogether different. Lovers, maybe?
Turning back to them, Tate pushed the drinks across the bar top, and with a quick thanks from them, that was it.
Over. Painless easy, right?
Walking away from the men, Tate found that he was relieved, yet at the same time he was also experiencing a different emotion. An emotion he didn't understand. Anger. He was pissed off. All of last week, this guy, this stranger, had decided to wreak havoc on his brain. Not to mention, all weekend it had bothered him and made him worry about coming to work today.
And now this.
Fucking nothing? After all that worry?
But then again, did I want something to happen?
Logan was lucky that Tate wasn't a violent man because, at that precise moment, he wasn't sure he would have been able to keep his fists to himself.
So, that's him?
Cole deduced as the bartender turned and walked away.
Yep, that's him.
What do you think? Cole lifted the tumbler to his mouth and took a sip of scotch.
I think he hates your guts.
Logan shrugged.
Yeah.
I think you might be right.
I also think he's straight.
Logan looked down the bar to where Tate was now laughing with a group of women. He then glanced back at Cole.
So?
When has that stopped me?
Never,
Cole admitted. He took another sip as he turned in Tate's direction.
Just be careful.
Logan laughed.
Don't worry, Dad. I'm always careful.
I use condoms, too. Not because of that, you idiot. The guy looked pissed off. Be careful you don't get into something you can't get out of. Like a back alley with a group of guys about to beat the shit out of you.
Logan glanced back at Tate and lifted his own glass.
I don't think that will be a problem.
Plus, he doesn't seem the type. Cole's eyebrow rose as Logan took a quick sip of his drink.
I think he's pissed about something else entirely.
As Cole placed his empty glass on the counter, he narrowed his eyes at Logan.
Do I even want to know?
Probably not.
Okay, then just be careful.
Okay,
Logan added as he signaled for another round. This time, though, Amelia stepped forward, and she proceeded to flirt outrageously with them as they chatted and drank their second drink. Tate free.
Finally, closing time.
Amelia had gone out the back around 10 minutes earlier to do God knows what, and Tate was doing a final round of the bar tables and booths. As he made his way down the side row, he saw that someone was waiting in the last booth, and he knew instinctively that it was Logan. The two of them hadn't had any more interactions throughout the evening. And when he had seen Logan leave with the blonde guy, Tate had figured that would be the end of that. But as he moved to keep walking past the booth, ignoring Logan completely, Tate was out of luck.
Not even a hello tonight?
You are mad at me. Tate stopped and looked down to where Logan was sitting.
relaxed into the side of the booth. He had an arm up on the back of the seat, and his suit jacket was undone, showing off his white shirt and blue tie. Tate also noticed a glass between Logan's fingertips. Amelia must have served him before heading out the back.
I said it earlier when you were at the bar.
Well, you didn't say it to me. You said it to Cole. Tate glared at the man staring up at him. And with the mood he was in, he decided it was better to walk away, so he did just that.
Tate made his way around the wall, separating the two main rooms of the bar before he felt a hand grab his shoulder. Spinning around quickly, as though he had anticipated the touch, Tate almost ran into Logan as he came face to face with him.
Tate gritted his teeth, and as calmly as he could, he stated,
"You need to take your hand off me. Around 4 seconds ago. You have a nasty habit of taking liberties."
"I have a lot of nasty habits. Want me to tell you about them?" Logan countered, removing his hand. Tate felt his blood starting to boil.
"You don't fucking quit, do you?"
"What can I say? I don't like to lose." Tate had finally had enough of the cocky attitude and decided it was about time to put Logan in his place. Moving forward, he snarled.
"Well, you aren't going to win anything here. I'm not interested in this little game you're playing. I work here. You drink here. That is where it ends."
Tate felt his ears ringing as Logan licked his lips and argued right back. "Are you so sure about that?"
Disconcerted, Tate fumed. "Am I sure I don't want to have sex with you? Yes."
Pausing, he took a tense breath, and before he thought better of it, he continued.
"Surprisingly, I don't want to fuck you, and I don't want to be the third invite to your party of three, so stop licking your lips like you want to suck my dick."
It wasn't until Logan raised his hands, palms up, that Tate realized he'd backed Logan up against the wall. "You're pretty pissed off, Tate. What's wrong? Afraid you might like it? How do you know unless you try?" Tate took a step back from the man who was radiating as much heat from his body as he was. But where his was from anger, Tate was positive Logan's was from something else entirely, and for some fucking reason, that thought was making him hotter by the second. Instead of acknowledging his body's meltdown, Tate grabbed a hold of the emotion he understood and let the anger thrum through him.
"That's your motto, right? To try everything once? Well, newsflash. Some people just know they won't like something."
With the adrenaline coursing through his veins, Tate didn't even think to move as Logan pushed off the wall and came closer. "Again, you didn't answer the question. How do you know unless you try?" Tate tried to think of something, anything to say in response, but he had nothing. So he stayed stubbornly silent. "Because, Tate, for someone who isn't interested, your body certainly has different ideas. I'm all about doing what feels good. You see, I've never had a left-handed hand job, but I'm almost positive I would love it." Without even thinking, Tate raised his hands and shoved hard against Logan's shoulders. The man didn't budge. Instead, his eyes turned from the usual cocky blue to a steely, "don't fuck with me" gray. "You get to do that once, unless the next time you shove me violently is to fuck me against a wall. You got it?" Tate jammed his hands into his pockets, disgusted with himself for reacting as he had. Glaring at Logan, he tried to rein in his bitter contempt for the man before him, himself, or the situation he was now in. He wasn't sure.
"Stay away from me."
"I don't want to."
"Why? I don't even like you."
Your cock says otherwise. Stop fighting so hard, Tate.
Logan brushed by him, and their shoulders met. Tate couldn't bring himself to look at Logan as he heard,
"And just try."
Before Tate could say anything else, Logan moved past him and disappeared from the bar, leaving him with about 50,000 questions and not one good goddamn answer. Chapter 6. 2 days later, Logan was sitting in the conference room, listening to Cole trying to placate one of their clients. She was a tall, dark-haired woman around 5'8", if you had to guess, and she was dressed like a sexy librarian or perhaps a schoolteacher. She was wearing a white pencil skirt, ending just above her knee, with a little black blouse and a red cardigan over it. The overall look was sexy and demure, and it made Logan want to yank her skirt up and lay her back on the conference table. Maybe then she would leave satisfied, and the morning would be over quickly. He wasn't a fan of dealing with ugly divorces, but Cole was about to leave town with Rachel for a couple of days, and he'd assured Logan that this particular case was pretty much over. It just needed to be wrapped up. Today was about tying up loose ends and finally signing on the dotted line. Logan was already bored. He much preferred working with businesses than petty husbands and wives with trivial issues. That was part of the job, though, and right now, as he looked down at his watch, the defendant still hadn't shown.
"I'm sure he will be here soon," Cole assured their client.
Seated in the corner of the room on a couch pushed up against the window, Logan watched her patience wear thin as she paced back and forth.
"Yes, I'm sure. He's always so punctual. He can't even be on time for something important."
"The guy is probably avoiding this," Logan thought.
And then he realized he'd said it out loud. The woman spun around to pin him with an icy look, and Logan shut his mouth real quick. But that was more due to the glare Cole was throwing his way than pissing her off.
"I'm sorry," he mumbled, "anything but."
As the woman turned away from him, Logan let his focus shift to her ass, and he took a good, long look at it. Maybe he just needed to let go of his pursuit of Tate. The guy was obviously conflicted, not to mention furious at him.
And this woman?
Logan knew if he worked it right, he could have her within the hour and, in turn, satiate the ache that had been building in him for the last several days. He had come to a final decision to do just that when a knock sounded, and the conference door opened. In walked a harried-looking, short, bald man. His suit was slightly crumpled, and he was shaking his head as he held the door open for, presumably, his client, the defendant.
"So sorry we're late. Mr. Morrison got held up on his way here."
"Big surprise there," Logan heard their client mutter.
The fifth person finally walked through the door, and Logan found himself staring at none other than
Tate. Tate Morrison, apparently.
Tate raised a hand and pushed his fingers back through his hair as he stepped into the conference room. Situated in the center was a large oval table that was surrounded by at least, Tate would guess, 15 to 20 chairs, and the back wall was made up of large windows covered by thin blinds letting in the muted morning sunlight. Holding his helmet by his leg, he scanned the room and was shocked when they landed on the blonde man from a couple of nights ago.
"What the?"
Before he could say anything, though, Mr. Branson, his lawyer, indicated a seat opposite from...
"Ugh."
His pissed-off and soon-to-be ex-wife.
"What did you do? Walk here?" Diana accused from across the table.
Tate resisted the urge to flip her off as he placed his helmet on the floor beside his leg.
"There was an accident, okay?"
"You couldn't call?"
Tate shook his head and glared at the woman he'd stupidly wasted 3 years of his life on.
Sure, Diana. When would I have done that on my bike?
Turning to face his lawyer, Tate sighed.
Can we just begin and get this over with?
Mr. Branson nodded and opened his briefcase with two clicks of the locks.
Of course, of course.
He fished his glasses out of the case and pushed them on.
Well, first, this is Mr. Madison, the plaintiff's lawyer. He'll ask you a few questions today, and then we'll go over some paperwork. Do you have any questions about that?
Tate glanced at the blonde man sitting opposite him.
No, but I do have a question about him. How does he know Logan?
He was considering asking the question when something in the corner caught his eye. From where he was sitting, his view was obstructed, but it was obvious that someone else was also in the room with them.
Great. She needs two lawyers. Nice to know that Daddy's money bought her good representation, and she still took 12 months to sign.
Right now, as a final hurrah, she was after his Kawasaki Ninja 650, and he would be damned if she took it. He loved that thing, probably more than he'd ever loved her.
Do you really need two lawyers, Diana? How many times do I have to tell you? I'm not selling my bike. Bringing me to a fancy lawyer's office for a little over $7,000 is ridiculous, even for you. But I suppose you actually need me here this time to sign the papers I filed over a year ago.
And you being a pig-headed ass about a bike is nothing new either. It's a toy, one you don't need, and we bought it together.
Bullshit. We've already split everything, and I... Mr. Morrison,
the blonde guy finally spoke up. Tate pinned him with a fuck-you look. He was surprised when the big guy glanced over his shoulder, obviously looking toward the second lawyer, who was still silent.
Yes, Mr. Madison,
Tate snapped, bringing the man's attention back to him.
If we could keep this civil, it would probably work out much better for all involved. Is that right?
Mr. Madison nodded once as the look in his eyes changed from serious to one of...
Is that sympathy? Fuck that. Fine,
Tate conceded, slumping back into his chair and crossing his arms over his chest.
Okay, then. If you could have your lawyer read over these terms and either agree or disagree...
Tate glared stubbornly at the blonde.
I don't need to read it. I disagree. She's just being spiteful.
She is sitting right here.
Yes. I'm well aware of that, Tate replied caustically. I am so sick of this shit. It's not my job to listen to her petty crap anymore.
At his comment, Tate heard a sound from the far corner that he could have sworn was a laugh. But in the end, it was disguised as a cough.
You're such an ass, Tate.
Tate shrugged.
Well, good thing you found a replacement for me then, huh?
That seemed to be her breaking point. Placing her perfectly manicured hands on the table, she pushed up from her chair and looked at her lawyer, who stood slowly beside her, dwarfing her by several inches.
I don't have to sit here and listen to this anymore, do I?
Tate watched Mr. Madison button his suit jacket as he shook his head.
No, we can contact you if we need anything else. Have a good day, Mrs. Morrison.
Diana swung her gaze to Tate's and sneered at him.
I'm going back to Ms. Klein now.
Tate uncrossed his arms and showed his palms.
Oh, stop. You're hurting my feelings.
She aimed daggers his way before turning on her heel, marching around to the table and heading straight out the door, slamming it behind her. The noise didn't even bother Tate. He'd become used to slamming doors a long time ago.
Well, that went well, Mr. Madison announced.
Tate looked to his silent lawyer, wondering what exactly he was paying him for. He was about to stand and leave the suffocating room when a person clearing their throat had him turning his head. Tate felt his mouth fall open as the second lawyer finally stood and he was face to face with Logan. Logan had been trying to decide at what point it would have been smart to announce his presence, but really, there hadn't been one.
Had there?
Except now, as he stood, staring across the silent and volatile space shared by all four men, he knew that he probably should have said something sooner. Tate's lawyer was oblivious to everything that was going on as he removed his glasses and threw them into his briefcase. Logan wondered where the hell Tate had found the guy, as Cole turned in Logan's direction, and his eyebrows rose as if to say, "What now?"
"Yeah, well, I'd love to answer you, brother, but I have no clue."
That was quickly cleared up, though.
"What the hell is he doing here?"
Tate stood and slammed his hands onto the conference table, much like his ex just had. Cole had the good sense to look uncomfortable as he glanced back at Logan, searching for an answer. Tate's lawyer looked up and connected gazes with Logan. Then he told his livid client as calmly as he could,
"Oh, this is Mr. Mitchell. He's Mr. Madison's partner. They own the practice. He sat in because Mr. Madison is going to be out of town. It's just a small technicality, nothing to be upset over."
Somehow, Logan didn't think that was going to cut it, and from the death stare Tate was aiming his way, he knew this was far from over. Tate muttered,
"Unfucking believable."
That was when Cole jumped in.
"Mr. Branson, can you please come with me? I have a few things I need you to sign, and it might give your client a moment to calm down."
"Wrong thing to say, Cole."
Tate turned his furious look onto Logan's brother. Cole wasn't worried, though. In fact, he looked as though he was trying to control a laugh as he made his way around the table toward the door.
Of course,"
Mr. Branson picked up his briefcase and followed Cole out of the room. For the first time, the conference room felt tiny. As the door firmly shut behind the two men, Logan took his time as he moved cautiously toward the opposite side of the table.
"Did you know all this time? Did you know who I was?"
was the first accusation thrown at him. Logan pushed his jacket aside and stuffed his hands into his pockets as he took a moment to really look at the enraged man across from him. Tate was dressed in faded jeans and a blue t-shirt under his leather jacket. The guy looked totally fuckable.
"No, I had no clue until you walked in the room today,"
Logan observed closely as Tate raised a hand to run it through his hair. A gesture Logan was now realizing came from nerves or agitation. He felt the need to once again reassure. Making his way carefully around the table until he was standing with only several chairs between them, Logan reiterated,
"I didn't know who you were, I swear. By the time you were in the room, it was too late for me to get up and leave without making you lose your focus."
Tate's head snapped toward him, and Logan met his glare head on.
"Oh, how nice of you, Logan."
Logan didn't know why, but he loved the way his name rolled off that pissed-off tongue.
"I can be nice,"
Tate scoffed.
"Yeah, I'm sure you can be, when you want to get laid."
"Well, that I won't deny, but even then, I'm not always nice."
"I can't imagine."
Oh, that comment is too good to leave as is. So, of course, Logan pushed.
"Can you?"
"I didn't mean that,"
Tate was quick to clarify.
"Don't fucking start with me."
Logan stepped closer and felt his need to reassure disappear as it turned into an altogether different kind of need.
"Don't start what?"
Tate shifted his entire body to face him.
"Your usual shit."
Logan felt his lips twitch as Tate, for the first time and without even realizing it, voluntarily looked him over. He stood as still as he could, enjoying the feel of Tate's focus on him,
and when they finally came back and met his. Logan raised a brow.
And? And what? Tate snapped. Nothing.
Logan took one more step until only one chair was between them. You really are pig-headed, aren't you, Tate?
Excuse me?
Moving the final step forward to where Tate was standing, so he either had to hold ground or back up, Logan was happy when Tate chose to stay where he was.
Why are you so irate right now?
Logan asked bluntly.
What do you think? I just found out that you're working for my ex.
Narrowing his eyes on the Dark One searching his, Logan countered.
And why would that piss you off?
Because...
Because isn't a good reason and never an acceptable one to a lawyer. Logan watched Tate's tongue come out and lick his bottom lip, and he knew. This is it. He just needed to do it or walk away. Tate was either going to hit him or... Without another thought, Logan reached out and clasped the back of Tate's neck and tugged him forward. Somewhere in the back of his mind, Tate had known it was coming. But as he watched Logan reach for him, he did absolutely nothing to stop it. As Logan's large hand cupped the back of his neck and firmly pulled him forward, Tate placed his palms on the solid chest now intimately pressed up against his own. Almost as though it were in slow motion, Tate watched Logan's focus drop to his mouth before he tilted his head and finally crushed his lips against his own. At first, Tate remained frozen, his hands against the smooth fabric of the jacket, until he realized exactly what was happening. That was when he curled his fingers into the lapels and shoved Logan from him, but kept a hold of the jacket. Breathing hard, he felt Logan tense as he seemed to brace himself. Tate ran his eyes over Logan's neutral expression, and he finally focused on the heated blue that was cautiously staring back at him, waiting.
This is the moment, Tate thought. This is the moment you punch him and tell him to fuck off.
As he clenched his fists around the material, he slowly released his left hand, determined to do just that. But as Tate raised his arm, he saw Logan's attention shift to his fist, and Tate was shocked to find himself reaching forward to take the back of Logan's neck instead. Before he knew what he was doing, Tate yanked Logan in and pressed his lips back against the hard ones that had apparently tempted him beyond his sanity. All of a sudden, Logan's large body moved into action as he walked them backward in the room until a wall was against Tate's back with a hard, solid man against his front.
Holy shit. Is this hot as fuck kiss really happening?
Was screaming through Tate's head. Logan's palms came up to brush over the stubble lining his cheeks. Then, before he could fully register everything, those same hands slid into his hair and tightened. Tate was telling himself,
pull the hell away.
From the insistent press of firm lips and the muscled body grinding against his own, when he felt the sharp sting of teeth bite down into his bottom lip, hard, jerking his head back. He grunted as he hit it against the wall.
Jesus, you bit me, he accused, as if that was the only thing he should mention at this point in time.
It was best not to focus on how disconcerting it was to have his ass and back pressed against a wall by someone taller and slightly bigger than himself. Not to mention, the someone in question was looking him directly in the eye and not giving him an inch to, perhaps, escape. But that was exactly where Tate was as Logan licked his own lips and grinned shamelessly back at him.
I did. I couldn't help myself.
Tate ran his tongue along his bruised lower lip, trying to soothe the still stinging spot, and his breathing became more labored as he realized he could feel more than his own erection throbbing against him. Logan, arrogant as ever, cut him off.
Yes, Tate?
Tate cleared his throat.
I think you should back up a bit.
In usual Logan fashion, he didn't follow any kind of direction but his own. He stepped in closer, if that were possible, and then pushed his hips hard against Tate's.
I think you like me exactly where I am. It's just taken you until now to realize it.
Tate's heart thundered uncontrollably in his chest as he noticed he was still gripping the lapels of Logan's jacket. He quickly let go as if his hands were on fire.
Back up, Logan, he repeated.
Something in his tone must have broken through because Logan slowly took a step back. He pushed his hands into his pockets as though he didn't trust himself. Tate silently thanked him for that because he didn't trust himself at this moment either. He wasn't sure if his feelings stemmed from violence or...
Or what? You must feel really great right about now.
Tate ran a seriously shaky hand over his face.
I do, actually. But not because of the reason you think.
And what do I think?
Tate dropped his hand to his side.
You think it's because I finally got you to admit that you want me?
I didn't admit that.
Logan looked to the zipper of Tate's jeans, and it took everything Tate had not to cover the erection pounding behind the denim.
Yes, you did.
Fine, whatever. If that isn't the reason, then what is?
Tate knew he should move past Logan, grab his helmet, and leave without engaging in a post-wrap-up convo, but instead he stood where he was, waiting for an answer he wasn't ready to hear.
I feel great because you are even better than I first fucking thought. And I love being right.
Shaking his head in adamant denial, Tate straightened and went to move away from the wall. Before he even got one foot in front of the other, Logan took a step of his own toward him and put a hand up on the side of his chest, stopping him in his tracks.
There was no way that Logan was letting Tate leave the room without getting at least one more taste of his mouth, and this time, he intended to make it a nice, long one.
Boundaries, Logan. I think you've crossed enough with me today, Tate warned.
We've also established that I have none.
This changes nothing. It was a lapse in judgment.
Logan couldn't help the low laugh he let free as he tested the firm muscle under his palm.
On the contrary, it changes everything. You didn't push me away. You kissed me back, and you haven't taken my hand off you yet.
As soon as the last word left Logan's mouth, Tate's hand came up and gripped his wrist tightly as he pulled him forward.
I don't know why you have fixated on me, but this game you're playing is a dangerous one.
Logan was sure the smart thing to do would be to agree and back off. But he didn't.
I agree. But I never said I'd play fair. And you sure as fuck didn't fight me off.
Tate scowled, and Logan wondered what he was thinking as the pressure around his wrist intensified.
You know what you want to do,
Logan encouraged in a seductive tone, thinking he must be losing his mind to be making such a bold move, even for him.
There's no one here. And no one is going to come in. Just do it, he whispered, eyes locked onto conflicted brown orbs. Try.
As the word left his lips, Tate spun him around until his back was up against the wall, and Tate was crushed against his front, with Logan's wrist clasped firmly between them.
Do you ever shut the fuck up?
Tate questioned. Logan touched his tongue to his top lip, as though he'd already had the second taste of the mouth that was sneering at him.
Only when I have a good incentive. Give me one.
He hauled his arm back closer to himself, drawing Tate in that final inch.
Make me shut up.
He didn't really expect the taunt to work, but something in Tate seemed to snap as he lowered his head, attacking his lips for the second time. Logan, never one to waste an opportunity, parted his mouth, determined to get a full taste of Tate this time around. He raised his free hand,
and sank it into the curls he'd gripped earlier, but this time he took a moment to enjoy the feel of them under his palm as he pulled the stubborn man to him. He felt a tentative tongue touch his lips, and he groaned as he slid his own directly into Tate's mouth. The hand on his wrist tightened at the intimate intrusion, and then the grip was released. Two large palms reached up and cupped his cheeks, and Tate finally let go. Angling his head to the side, Logan heard a low rumble leave his own throat as Tate sank his tongue inside, rubbing it up against his own. The sharp taste of cinnamon flooded Logan's mouth, along with a faint hint of coffee, and something he couldn't quite pinpoint. Whatever it was, the combination and the fact that it was Tate made it fucking addictive. The ache that was thrumming in his balls and the constant throb in his swollen shaft was nothing compared to what he felt the moment Tate shot the hell out of him and bit his bottom lip. Logan tugged his head back and stared into eyes that were almost black, but not showing signs of anger or annoyance. This time, they were dark with lust. So, Logan managed. So, Tate taunted him right back. Logan, whose back was still up against the wall, looked around the conference room, trying to get his shit back under control. When his eyes finally came back to Tate's, he raised a questioning brow at the man who had taken a step back. Then Logan watched him move over to the table as calm as he pleased. Tate bent down and picked up his helmet, and Logan couldn't help but stare at the firm ass covered by those jeans. Standing silently was definitely new to Logan, and just as he was about to say something witty, he was sure, Tate walked to the door and reached out a palm to grip the handle. Before he turned it, though, he looked to Logan and trailed his gaze down over him. And then Tate did something completely out of character. He winked at him. So, now I've tried. With that, the sexy fucker walked out the door.
Chapter 7. Tate hauled ass out of the office quicker than he'd even realized he could walk. He was holding his helmet in a death grip as he flew past his lawyer and mumbled, "Call me," on his way directly into the open elevator. As the door slid shut, Tate was relieved to find he was alone for the descent. Slumping back against the wall, he brought his hand up and touched his mouth. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Removing it, he closed his eyes and tried to push aside the feeling of Logan's lips moving so surely against his own. He needed to think about this objectively, and then maybe he would be able to make sense of it all. To start with, Logan had provoked him. At every opportunity, Logan had pushed and pushed until, like a normal person, Tate had finally snapped.
Right? Yeah. Right.
Tate stared at his reflection in the shiny silver doors. He didn't look any different than he had before. No, he didn't look any different, but he sure as hell felt it. He felt it in his whole body, including his confused-as-hell cock.
What was I thinking when I kissed him back?
By the end of the whole exchange, he'd convinced himself that it had been a matter of finally putting Logan in his place. Tate was sick of always being the one left questioning everything after each encounter. So, this time around, his main goal had been to leave the smug bastard wondering. He just hadn't expected to be left wondering as well. The elevator hit the ground floor much smoother than his descent to reality, and after the doors pulled open, Tate moved into the lobby of the building. He was halfway to where his bike was parked when his cell phone started buzzing in his jeans. Stuffing his hand into his pocket, he pulled it out and accepted the call, thinking it was probably his lawyer, wondering why he hadn't waited for his paperwork. "Hello," he snapped. "Running away so soon?" He would know that voice anywhere.
damn it. So, now, you're poking around in my file?
Logan's familiar chuckle came through the phone. I could come up with an obvious joke there about poking, but I'll refrain. Tate felt his mouth itch to smile at the other man's nerve. He had to give it to Logan for always saying what he thought, unlike himself.
Is there something you want, Logan?
There are several things I want, Tate.
Tate moved over to the edge of the sidewalk, out of the way of others, and waited.
Stubborn to the end, I see.
I'm not being stubborn. I'm trying to work out exactly why you're calling me.
Logan sighed as though he was feeling particularly put out. Well, you left so abruptly that I hardly had a chance to speak.
No, that's not how I remember it. You were standing shocked shitless, if I recall.
A loud laugh hit his ear then, as if Logan couldn't help himself. Proud of yourself?
No. Tate wouldn't dare say that he kind of was. Why would I be?
Because I can't remember the last time a straight guy bit me into silence.
Tate curled his fingers around the helmet, and as though others could hear, he whispered,
You have no filter, do you?
And this is news?
No, Tate muttered. Just confirmation, I suppose. So what do you want, Logan?
He regretted the question, but he knew he wouldn't stop wondering until he received a reply.
I want to see you tonight.
Tate was positive on that answer.
No.
You can't stop me from having a drink after work.
Are you an alcoholic?
Tate just wanted to annoy him now.
No, but I would become one if need be.
Why are you pushing so hard? Is it because you finally met someone who's told you no?
Tate found himself picturing the way Logan's mouth might move as he thought over.
Shit.
Maybe, Logan surmised. But I think it's more because you just slammed me up against a wall and kissed my fucking brains out. And whether or not you will admit it, you loved it.
Tate swallowed and felt his cock take notice of the words coming through the phone.
Don't act like you didn't, Tate. I felt your whole body vibrating against mine. I want to feel it again.
Wow, Tate thought. The guy's persistent.
Somewhere in the back of Tate's mind, if he were willing to admit it, Logan's confidence and interest were both hot as hell and scary as shit.
Tell me, Logan urged.
Tate turned his feet on the sidewalk and stared once again at his reflection mirrored from the building in front of him. He couldn't even escape his own damn self, let alone Logan.
Tell you what, exactly?
Tell me you didn't like it, and make me believe it.
Tate studied himself, from the too long hair on his head to the dark stubble on his jaw. He ran his eyes over the leather jacket, t-shirt, and jeans, wondering why he'd thought he would look different due to what he'd done only minutes earlier.
You don't look different, dipshit, he thought with disgust. You're thinking differently.
Tell me,
Logan demanded through the phone. Before Tate even thought about what it meant that he couldn't say the words, he ended the call.
Nothing and nobody will keep me away from that bar tonight. Logan got on the elevator and made his way down. Unsuccessfully, he'd tried to push aside the incident in the conference room, but no matter what he did, all he could think about was the fact that Tate had kissed him back. And even better, the guy had played rough. Just thinking about it had Logan tracing his tongue over his bottom lip where those strong teeth had sunk in. I can't wait to feel those lips again. Gripping his briefcase in his hand, Logan took a quick look at his watch and decided to skip going home first. It would be too much of a pain in the ass, and he wasn't in the mood. He wanted to know how things were going to go.
if it had just been a fleeting moment. And now that Tate had time to think about it, Logan wondered if the moment was over.
I sure as hell hope not.
For the first time ever, as Logan stood waiting for the elevator to come to a halt, he felt an emotion he hadn't before, and he was pretty sure he hated it. He felt nervous. When the doors opened, he reminded himself that he did this kind of shit every day. Chasing shiny, sexy things was a familiar hobby of his, one he usually enjoyed and excelled at. He went in with only one motto: try, take, top.
Try a sample, take the goods, and then come out on top. Never let things get messy. And this wouldn't be any different.
But as Logan opened the door to the bar and stepped inside, he immediately searched through and found the shiny object he was currently chasing. Right there, in that moment, Logan knew that somehow, this time, everything was going to be different. Tate wasn't sure if he saw him first or felt him, but the minute Logan was through the front door of the bar, Tate knew it. Obviously, Logan had come straight from the office. He was dressed in the same gray suit as this morning, and as he stared through the crowd to where Tate was standing, Tate knew he was giving Logan the same inspection he was receiving before glancing around the bar.
What am I looking for?
Was all Tate could think as Logan started through the crowd toward him.
Am I trying to see if anyone knows that he kissed me today? Or that I kissed him back?
Tate wasn't sure, but the look in Logan's eyes sure as shit wasn't helping. As several people moved aside and Logan drew closer, Tate could feel his palms getting clammy, and he wiped them on the sides of his pants. The expression on Logan's face was predatory, as if he were hunting. And Tate knew that he was the prey. Tate always prided himself on being a man of principle, a man of conviction. He was someone who owned his actions and held himself responsible for the outcomes that came from them. But as Logan stopped directly opposite him with only the wood surface of the bar as a barrier, Tate wanted to abandon all those morals instilled long ago and get the fuck out of there. Instead, he stood where he was and reminded himself that just because he'd done something once did not mean he needed to repeat it. Even as his eyes dropped to Logan's lips.
Evening, was the first word out of the lawyer's mouth.
Tate reached out with both hands to brace against the bar's edge.
Evening, the usual.
Tate figured if he had something to do, he would stop thinking about other things he had already done earlier.
Do you really need to ask? Logan quipped,
moving to place his briefcase by his feet.
Well, it is my job.
It's also your job to know your customers. How serious are you about that?
Tate ignored the obvious comment and poured the gin and tonic before sliding it across to Logan. Looking around himself, Tate was satisfied when he saw that no other workers were near him, and all the customers seemed to be taken care of for the moment.
I told you not to come here tonight,
Tate pointed out in a lowered voice. He watched Logan's fingers as they reached out to grip the glass, and in a split second, Tate was reminded of how they had felt in his hair. Pulling his eyes away from the highball, Tate met Logan's daring look and wondered what he was thinking.
This is the longest he sat silently, if I don't count this morning with his back against the wall after I had... Yeah, hell.
Then, Logan finally spoke.
I decided to ignore you.
Tate shook his head at the smart-ass remark as Logan calmly held his gaze and raised the glass to his lips. After taking a sip, he placed it back down.
And you're avoiding my question. How well do you get to know your customers?
Just as Tate was about to reply, he noticed Amelia out of the corner of his eye. Glancing her way, he felt his heart start to do a damn tap dance inside his chest as she looked at Logan and a sensual, wide smile stretched across her lips.
Does she know?
No, of course she doesn't know. She's smiling at the man she spent Friday night with. As she got closer to them, Tate tried to act natural.
Nothing is different, nothing is obvious, and nothing is out of the ordinary. Except for the fact that I had my tongue in Logan's mouth, just like Amelia has.
And that, Tate discovered, bugged the shit out of him.
I didn't see you come in. You're becoming sneaky, Mr. Mitchell,
Amelia accused good-naturedly as she rested her hip up against the bar.
That's okay, hon. Tate got me fixed up.
Tate was still looking down at Amelia, who now turned to stare up at him.
I'm sure he did.
What does she mean by that?
Yep, he knows exactly what I like, Logan added.
Tate faced him across the bar, all the while resisting the urge to tell him to shut the hell up.
Jesus. Now I'm turning into a paranoid fucking lunatic.
Luckily, Amelia started to laugh and also turned to a grinning Logan before leaning over the bar to show off her ample cleavage.
Yes, he does. But he turned us down.
Tate's stare didn't waver as Logan winked at Amelia and then raised his blue ones to him.
Is it the dark-framed glasses that make his eyes so damn blue?
Well, that's a shame. I'm sure we could have had a very good time.
Feeling like he was in some kind of parallel universe, one where he'd gone crazy and was busy checking out the guy inviting him to a threesome instead of the girl that would be in the middle, Tate frowned and shook his head.
Sorry, not really my scene.
Ah, look, Amelia. He speaks.
Logan's eyes were full of dare and sex as he raised the drink to his lips again, making Tate's temperature jump up a little higher. Not only was Tate irked at being their inside joke, he was finding himself really wanting to shut Logan up the same way he had earlier. And that impulse was scaring the shit out of him.
Excuse me.
Tate glowered at Logan, who raised a questioning brow at him.
We have other customers. I'll leave you in Amelia's capable hands.
Tate didn't tack on the end that he was sure Logan was already familiar with those hands, but he sure thought it as he turned and made his way down the bar. Logan followed Tate's retreating back as he moved further away, and he wondered what exactly had ticked Tate off first. The fact that he'd turned up at the bar, the reminder of their earlier meeting, or Amelia's interruption. It was too much to hope that it was the last reason, but as Logan sat there, mulling over the idea, it seemed more and more accurate. Up until Amelia had turned up, Logan had been positive that Tate was checking him out. Oh, he'd been subtle about it, with his slow once-over. But Logan had felt him linger on his mouth, and he knew that Tate had been recalling exactly what they'd done earlier.
So, no Tate. Sad, huh? He's super hot.
Logan returned his attention to Amelia, who was also staring over at Tate.
It is sad, but hey, we tried.
Amelia looked back to him, grinning, as she gave him a quick, sexy wink.
We sure did. He's just out of a bad relationship, so that's probably got something to do with it, too. I think I shocked him.
She giggled.
Oh?
Logan queried, not really paying attention.
Yeah. He seemed scandalized, but didn't want to offend me. Man, his eyes almost fell out of his head when I suggested it. Bet it would have been different if you were a chick.
Logan could imagine Tate's reaction to the suggestion of a threesome.
And yes, he had to admit it had probably been more to do with the fact that the invite had been to a threesome with him.
But he would have paid money to see it. Actually, he wanted to try his own hand at convincing the man.
Maybe I can change his mind, Logan mused out loud.
You could try, but I don't think you'll have much luck. Want another drink?
Sure.
She moved to make him one, and when she placed it in front of him, she whispered,
If he does come around, count me in.
Logan flicked his eyes to her as his mouth pulled into a wicked grin. Well, I actually think you'll count us in, but that's all in the details. With that, he raised his glass in a mock salute. An hour and a half later, Tate was feeling pretty proud of himself. He'd managed to avoid dealing with Logan and was finally taking his break. Moving into the back room, he cracked his neck and grabbed his time card from the holder on the wall. Inserting it into the punch machine, he enjoyed the sound of 20 minutes of freedom as he clocked out. Tate made his way over to the couch in the far corner and settled down onto it, resting his head back against the wall and shutting his eyes. He was content for the time being to just zone out and forget all about today.
And here I was, thinking you couldn't look any hotter than when you're scowling at me.
Tate's eyes snapped open to focus on the door where Logan was leaning up against the frame, with his legs crossed and his hands in his pockets.
Well, that can be arranged, Tate stated, feeling surly as hell. You're not allowed back here.
Logan blatantly checked him out where he was seated, and Tate immediately wanted to sit up straight and shut his widened legs.
I have connections.
Who? Amelia? She's hardly the boss.
Tate told himself to stay where he was